All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire podcast. Hoping my microphone sounds well. If not, I'm yelling in your earbuds. But MWWire.com, Facebook, Mountain West Wire, we're getting there. MWC Wire on Twitter, we passed 1,000 followers. That's brilliant, amazing, thank you. And no jerks have unfollowed us yet after getting to 1,000 because I haven't really announced it yet. You hear that noise back there? That's not our normal co-host. It's not a robot either. Matt Ketterly is gone. We have our good buddy Brandon Blake joining us, who, if you remember, he was on our four-man crew for the March Fadness podcast, One Hit Wonders of the 90s. Well, he's back to talk. Do what Matt does, I guess, right?
Pretty much. Welcome. Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me, Jeremy. I'm not Matt. Matt is at a concert. Hope he has fun. But I'm here to talk a little Mountain West football, particularly Nevada football.
Yeah, so give him a follow, Brandon G. Blake, if you want. Here's a couple things you'll get from Twitter. Nevada football, Jacksonville Jaguar sufferer.
Hey, we're 4-3 now. We're
4-3. Okay, Blake Bortles hater, is that fair?
Let's just say I'm a Blake Bortles. I'm not a fan.
Okay. See, and then also you get other hot takes about, as we just discussed before the show, Ezekiel Elliott stuff. Yeah. So you'll get some of that stuff too. So you're warned about what's going to be coming from your way. So Jaguars, Reno, and other stuff. Cool. But here's what we get to. Follow him along. Hey, you give a little swear too. So I guess if you want PG-13, stay away sometimes.
I'm known to throw an F-bomb here and there.
Hey, so is Matt. So is Matt Kennerly. So it's okay.
Okay. Well, we're kindred spirits, basically.
Exactly. We it's everything. Say we don't stick to sports all the time, which none of us do, so that's fine. I don't care. If you follow us, hey, our MWC Wire account, we got very close at some point, but just because when it crosses over, when you got New Mexico players taking a knee, which is fine, do their thing. If you got player A doing this, Kaepernick stuff, it happens. But let's get to football. Week 8? Is that true?
Yeah, it goes by so
fast. Oh, man.
It goes by so fast.
We wait all year.
And it,
all year, all
and
summer.
It's gone.
For 15
and
weeks.
And it's gone in like 3 months.
Essentially, it's the shortest season that you talk about year-round, right? But we talk football. Okay, this weekend was crazy. We had a doubleheader Friday night. We had Fresno. Who saw that coming? Nobody. Boise might be better, but let's just get to the games here. We'll start with the games. Let's start with your game. Nevada, take it on Air Force. Can we give Nevada another 90 seconds on the clock?
How about we give them, better still, how about we give them a defense?
12-man?
We give them a defense.
12-man?
That too. Man, just I feel like the offense has come a long way from whatever that was back in September, where they just really couldn't get out of the way. A little bit of promise in the Northwestern game, and then it just cratered with Northwestern Toledo. Then it just kind of cratered with the Idaho State game, and then was just a mess when they went up to Pullman against Washington State, mainly because Jay Norvell wanted to mix and match his quarterbacks. I mean,
what did he want to do? Because I said you probably heard this before, but hear me say it. Okay, had they stuck with Ty Ganji, they probably wouldn't have beat Toledo. The record still might be the same. There's a very good chance it could still be the same. However, look what they've done the past few weeks. Like, put the defense aside. Okay, they beat Hawaii, who has some defensive players on their team. They beat the Rams, whose front seven's good, but it wasn't that game. And they beat Air Force, whose defense has been up or down. However, they scored 100 points in the past three games. 100 points. Over 100 points. Would there be any difference by sticking with Ty Ganji? Because, like you said, Northwestern, a little promise. He still was under 50% a little bit. But had they stuck with him versus Toledo, Idaho State, you'd probably still have David Cornwell on the roster as a backup. And you wouldn't have burned the redshirt of Kamen, who got pulled after like five attempts or something in one of these early games. It's just been a mess. It took them time to figure out, but would you have... Do you think anything would be different had they stuck with Ganji the whole way?
I think the offense would have had some rhythm or had some feel of consistency in the sense of Ganji's the starter and you're not yanking Ganji or Kirk Kanan or David Cornwell. Cornwell. He's been gone so long. I think he would have had some sense of consistency. I felt that they would have beaten Idaho State because Idaho State was a terrible FCS team. they would have at least had two wins. They would have put up maybe somewhat of a better fight against Washington State. Put it to you like this. They would have scored more than 7 points against Washington State. But I felt that there would be a little bit more consistency in the offense that would have ran into October where, hey, they might have been in a few games.
Maybe beat Fresno. Who knows?
Yes. About Fresno. We'll get to that, but yeah.
Definitely. So this game here, let's get, because I felt you're right. I think the record still might be the same, maybe a little bit better. But what, 2-3 wins max? Maybe they beat Air Force. Yeah,
two
but
wins.
This offense, like if you look at my quarterback ratings, I made a huge shakeup last week. I moved up Ganji. I move up Marcus McMarion. Did you know before this game, Ganji had the most touchdowns in conference play, tied for first with 10?
I did not know this. I would have gathered maybe McMarion as the quarterback.
No, he had only 5.
Either McMarion or, you know, obviously Nick Stevens. But wow, not Ganji. But then again, that goes.
So real quick,
the offense finding the strength. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying real quick. Yeah, we'll get that. We may stumble against each other. We're not consistently podcast partners here. But real quick, Stevens 12, Ganji 12 touchdowns. Next closest is McMarion with 6. So like I moved up Ganji extremely high because of what he did. He's still completing over 2/3 of his passes. Yeah, the interceptions, it's not great. It's only 4, it looks like, if I'm correct. Sorry. Yeah, 4 there. So he's one of the best quarterbacks of conference. Where would you put this offense overall before we get to Air Force? Like, they played close to Air Force. Is their offense better? Like, where would you put their offense overall? Because it looks like they may have also found a running game. Potentially, they kind of been hit or miss on that. But look what Kelton Moore's finally doing, 100 yards this game. What he's been doing the past, what do you have, 200 yards a couple weeks ago?
Against Hawaii. I'd have to see.
Yeah. But then 29 versus CSU. So where would you rank put their offense overall? Because defense notwithstanding, because it's garbage.
I would say, are we talking about like numbers ranks or like grades? Just
kind of like, where do you, how do you think they would be? Like, are they better than Colorado State?
I mean, they're there. I feel like they're right there with Colorado State. Just
San Diego State?
Neck and neck. I would say so. Let me back up. I think they're better than San Diego State because I feel their offense is a little bit more explosive, whereas San Diego State is still, when it's working, potent. But I think I think Nevada's offense is right there with San Diego State's, if not better. Overall, they're right in that mix with the Colorado State offense and the Fresno State offense. Be surprised they say that 2 months ago, but there we go.
No kidding. Who would have thought that? Just real quick, these are some basic numbers here. Really quick, we'll move on. But like yards per play, they're second, 6.87 yards per game, which is not the best stat, but they're third in this conference play. So their offense is as good as anybody in the league. Like if you look at the Colorado State game, 44-42 a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and then this week they score another 42 points again, 84 points in 2 games. So, hey, defense, man. It's like what I say at the Lobos years ago, or past couple years. Give me a decent defense, They'd probably be really good. And so having them turn this around, they're going to be – I think Nevada, they're finally figured out. First-year coach, like Matt Mumme, Timmy Chang, all these guys out there figuring things out. So as for the Air Force game, like watching this game, it was back and forth for the entire – for basically the whole game, 45-42. It basically came down to who had the ball last. And defense, man, 5. Holy crap! I gotta look if this is the record for Air Force. 91 rushes, 550 yards. 3 guys had 100 yards, nearly a fourth in Aaron Worthman. Can we get some extra eligibility for like Ian Sayow or something? Can you come back?
Ian Sayow, Brock Hecking.
Brock Hecking. Anybody, come on.
I mean, get the guys off the street if you can. I think a stat I read Friday night by Chris Murray of the Reno Gazette mentioned that the total number of yards Nevada gave up was the most since they kept track, if I'm reading the stat correctly. if I remember the stats
since they started tracking.
So
ever? Sure. Ever, right?
We'll go with ever. We'll go with ever. Forever. It just was good. And all credit to Air Force's rushing attack between McVay and Ronald Cleveland and Wortham, who almost broke 100 yards.
And the new guy, the freshman, who's this guy, man? You got Tavin Berta. Who's this guy? Freshman, 100 yards?
Yeah, 100 Jeez. Yards out the bat. I mean, kudos to him.
He had 60 yards. Yeah, 60 yards coming into the game and only played him four games.
And at 5 yards a pop. Well, they're not playing run defense. They're not playing run defense, that's for certain. It's just Air Force. And going back to that last possession. Oh, excuse me, the Air Force's last possession after Nevada scored. 3 minutes left. Too much time. You got to get, and I mentioned this in the recap. You got to get a stop. You have to. I mean, you don't have to run around be the Alabama or the 85 Bears, but you got to get a stop. And they failed to get a stop, not just in that possession, but in the whole game. As you mentioned, it was back and forth.
Yeah, that drive, they converted a trio, Air Force, that is, 12 plays. Pretty quick drive for 12 plays, 62 yards, about 4 minutes. They converted, three third downs on that drive. Or no, sorry, is that two or three? Hold on, let's see. One, as I'm tracking your one. No, two third downs. They called a timeout on that last play. They moved back. They gained like 1 yard on third and 10. So they converted a couple of third downs. Like I said, get a
just
stop.
Just one. You just one stop.
Get
going
a stop.
Over.
And then also, the personal foul went their favor. Second and 5. They get pushed back. So you're at the 21-yard line. That's a 38-yard field goal. For a college kicker, that's a ways out there. That's borderline. You're like, probably should make it, probably not. Then they get a – was there a penalty or something? Because they got 7 right. yards on the second and 21. You're right there. You got to push back. Do something.
They could not – they were unable to get any stop. And they – literally shot themselves in the foot. I hearken it back to the Colorado State game a week earlier, where they just could not stop. And it's similar offenses. I mean, similar in the type of explosiveness of the offense. Colorado State's a little bit more balanced. Air Force, when they're going to ground you or go ground and pound. But they, either way, they couldn't stop them. Mm-hmm.
So here's a couple of notes. This is just the stats for this game are just unrealistic. That almost over 1,000 yards total offense, 36 first downs for Air Force, 21 for Nevada. Did you see the time of possession on this game?
I think I saw it real quick and sort of brushed it off. Yeah.
A lot
to
a little.
Much. It was like, 41 minutes.
Here's the thing. That's absurd. They're also Nevada should have won this game. Like not that part, but like they forced 18 third downs for Air Force. They convert 12. Air Force was 2-2 on fourth downs. Nevada was -2 in the turnover margin. Penalty wise, favored Nevada. Everything in this game, not everything, but just look at those numbers. Like those specific ones, they should have won this game.
And as much as we in these last few minutes and I have on the last few weeks. Bash Nevada, the Wolfpack's defense, they did get turnovers. They did get the fumble and they did get the interception. And you're right. Penalties, they were they had two less penalties and they still couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
And the yards as well. They were get a stop.
Turnovers, plus 14 points on turnovers. They did everything they needed to do. They scored off turnovers. And I guess if you really want to go back to it, you got the field goal. A couple field goals. That was kind of the difference. They had that first quarter or second quarter field goal when it made 17-14. And then they go 20-14. But then here's the thing. Back-to-back touchdowns by Air Force. That was the killer. I said kind of. 28-20 back-to-back. And then they put end of the half, which whatever, 2 minutes left. You could get a field goal or something. But it comes down to that. Defense making stops. They made turnovers. Great. But 12-18 on third down. Forcing 18 third downs. Yeah. That's pretty good. But they gave too many big plays. Like this rushing attack, like I always say, when you're playing New Mexico, playing Air Force here, give up the yards. Who cares how many yards you give up, essentially. But 38, 43, 50, all these yards gained on over 20-plus, 30-plus, 40-plus yard gains, you can't win that type of game. Give up 500 yards, but make him average 4 yards a carry. Don't let him go for, I don't think I need my calculator for this, but 550 divided by 91, well, no, what's that, 8 yards, 7 yards a carry? No, no, 5 yards, 6 yards a carry? Too much, so... Get us stuck. Come on. Who's Nevada's DC? Do we know who
Jeff
this guy
Castile
is? I don't know his name.
The defensive coordinator. And,
come on, and Castile. What are you doing?
It's a first year. It's first year for him. They installing a brand new defense, the 3-3-5, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a new team, new defense, new system. It's gonna take time, but at this point, at this juncture in the season, you have to show some form of improvement, and with the bye week they have coming up, maybe they'll get some improvement. But
I'll say they go to Boise in 2 weeks.
But I feel like, oh, go ahead.
Are you? No, I was gonna say, no, you're gonna probably answer my question.
I feel like there's some room for improvement. Yeah, they have Boise, and we'll get to them in a moment. They do have San Jose State. And then they face San Diego State, whose defense... Oh, excuse me, San Diego State. And then they face Washington 4 weeks. I'm still here. Okay.
All right, so let me ask you this here.
As a whole, yes. I feel like they
are
in a sense,
optimistic.
They're a lot
the
better than
the
they were.
Like, are they playing better?
Like you mentioned earlier, September was just so bad. I think offensively they're making strides. Defensively, they're getting a few turnovers.
Are they playing better? Do you think they're playing better?
Turnovers here, because I don't trust them to make. I don't trust them to get off field consistently on defense. So I would put on a whole they're better. They're getting better, and I thought at the beginning of the season with Nevada, their improvement's not going to necessarily come in wins and losses. It's going to be how you're going to be from month to month, from September to October. They're better. Okay, from October to November, they have to take another step up. Are they going to win a lot of games? I don't know, but I feel they're getting better. Okay.
All right, two last things before we move on. So this might be one of the most bizarre stats to the game, despite everything we mentioned. Air Force's defense had 0 sacks, zero tackles for loss, and 0 QB hurries for a guy who threw for 35 passes.
Play a couple of games early in the season, and now
we know their defense isn't good, but I'm like, is that right? Is this stat sheet I'm looking at correct?
Nevada's better.
All right, one more question here. Somebody, because it's a BYU question, so sorry to bring that up to you. But they play a couple more teams. Somebody asked a question, kind of off the wall. We'll go with it. Who's better, BYU or Nevada right now?
Utah Black got to them. I believe it was Mississippi State, if I'm looking at correctly. ECU. Woo! I'll pray for you.
East Carolina last night. Hey, they play next. They have a bye week. Or, the 28th. No, sorry. San Jose had a bye week this week. BYU's hosting San Jose. I'm going to be at that game. That's going to be just awful. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I need all the help I can get. Luckily, hey, I could drown my soda. They now have caffeine soda at Mr. Pibb, Coca-Cola, regular soda
State,
there
right?
at BYU, compared to the old days of caffeine-free Diet Coke I'd take, partaking
of
Fresca.
So
I'll be down a few Mr. Pibb while I'm there. But here's what I'm saying. I said this before when I talked about Utah State, BYU.
Comedy.
We've seen points from Nevada.
Are they
going to
beat San
obviously.
Jose State?
BYU can't score points. However, like really quick, since we're going to talk BYU for a second, are they going to beat any Mountain West team this year?
Sure, we'll go with that.
They do. They cannot end in a tie.
Oh, they're not beating. They're not beating first, though. They're not beating.
Montel Aaron is the quarterback, and he's better than everybody else they've put in there. He's healthy, so maybe.
Yeah, we know they're not. It's established they're not beating Fresno.
Because they still got, maybe they got UNLV, Hawaii, and Fresno.
It's just so bad, and just
it's at Fresno, it's at UNLV, and it's at Hawaii. Maybe UNLV depends if
it's just fallen so maybe? Far, and you're close to it than I am.
They're going 0-6. You
cover the team. It's just remarkably bad.
Yeah, I worked. I covered the team for years. Yes.
Right.
Yes. This is honestly, this is not hyperbole, and I know it's not a BYU show, but we talk enough about them because they play. not kidding aside, worst team ever. This potentially be worst team ever because clearly the worst team since Lavelle Edwards took over now is at 72, I want to say, and they were bad before he came over. He's the reason they're anything good. And so there's other topics we can weave down. Right. Maybe we'll in the second here, but this worst team I've ever seen. And also, it's always, hey, did you know Tanner Mangum, co-MVP with Jameis Winston? That's like a decade ago. Come on. Their defense is okay, but they've lost a few injuries. But I said, like, if anybody's heard this podcast, going back to last year when we talk about spring and fall, summer stuff, they had no running back because, okay, yeah, replacing Jamal Williams, NFL running back, hard to do. Losing your wide receivers who weren't very good last year, that's a trouble. And when your best receiver is a tight end redshirt freshman, your quarterback did pretty, honestly, Mangum did good the first year he came in when Taysom Hill got hurt a couple years ago. Defense is okay. Defense lost like their best two players. Francis Bernard is gone. He actually had arrested for DUI last night, which is unfortunate for him, whatever happened with that. Losing other defenders on their team. Like, this is honestly their worst team ever. And I'm not just saying that just because I'm here. This is their worst team ever. They're not going to a bowl game this year. I don't think they are. Yeah. And then also, people bring it up to us or me because we talk about BYU. They play in the league or against the league. I've covered them. They know I talk about them. Are they going to go back to the conference? I'll say no because they get too much money. And here's what it comes down to, not to make BYU about too much of BYU, but the overschedule, Wisconsin, Utah, Boise, Mississippi State, they're getting paid from that. They're getting paid from ESPN for their nice, what, $750K? Yeah, whatever they get, at least a minimum of $500,000, we don't know for sure, per home game. Until that dries up, there's no reason for them to come to a conference like the Mountain West or American or whatever. But here's the thing. I kind of saw this coming years ago because you see the schedule. Look who they got upcoming. They got all these good teams. LSU, Wisconsin. They're playing USC, UCLA, Stanford, all these good teams. Utah, Boise, coming up on the schedule. And so the thing that comes down to it really quick, like anything in the Mountain West, recruiting rankings. They're not increasing in recruiting rankings because they're still at the 50, 60 range. But they're playing, what does LSU get recruiting? Top 10? Mississippi State. They're not a good SEC team. Top 25 at best. And so if they're going to come back to Mountain West, if ever, which some ADs within the school and presidents aren't so keen on, which is fine, it's if that money dries up from their ESPN deal. And some guy from KSL.com, who I've worked with before, basically saying they're taking money over victories. It's a little bit of the coaching staff because any team can – UNLV might be able to play defensive against them and play well, but if they're going to come back, that's what it's going to take. Like, yeah, new coaching staff. Like, look what Nevada's going through. They have all this new staff. Terrible. They're figuring things out. BYU's not, and it's year two. So when they play UNLV, Hawaii, Fresno, I don't know. It's not going to happen. But that's enough BYU talk. Let's move on, I guess.
Yeah. And real quick, real quick about BYU, mm-hmm. You mentioned their schedule. They're not a conference. You're not walking – like you mentioned, they're playing LSU. They're playing Mississippi State. They're playing Wisconsin. They're getting serious bread from that.
Yeah.
And if they – and as an independent, they're keeping that money. If they were in the Mountain West – they'd have to share it with.
Well, no, Nevada not the payout money, TV money.
Oh, no, TV money.
Yeah.
I was thinking payout money, but yeah.
But still, if you add that together,
why split? Hey, you get 100%, it's almost like 100% of the profit. Why am I going to share it with anybody else? So they'll take these L's. And
for now.
They'll get better down the road. Maybe.
We'll see. But, like, really quick, like, I think when I was doing my show with BYU a couple years ago, when Boise went to the Fiesta Bowl, they got about $10 million, including the big money bowl game. BYU went to just some standard bowl game, not big money, got almost the same amount.
Yeah.
So that's what it tells you. And then, like, really quickly, like, next year, they got at Arizona, Cal, at Wisconsin, at Washington. They got Utah, at Tennessee, USC, Washington, Arizona State, at Minnesota. They're getting seven-figure checks for a lot of these teams that aren't home and home. So it'll take a lot for them to want to come back to the Mountain West. So
yeah, and let's don't see it with the money.
No, again, it depends if they're going to take money over wins. Because living here, more like three kids flipped to Utah recently, recruits, because why go to BYU when they're thinking, like, oh, we're playing this great schedule. We got Boise State, top team in the Mountain West. We're playing Toledo, who's good. East Carolina, they're usually good down, but then they got all these Pac-12 SEC teams. Yeah, they'll bump up to maybe 30 or 40 recruiting rankings. That's not happening. They're going to Utah. They're going to the Pac-12. Alabama's coming in and getting guys. SEC's coming in and getting guys from the state because there's actually more talent. So they're thinking, oh, we're going to play a better schedule. Yes, they're getting some better players or in contention, but they're not landing those guys, and that's ultimately where even a Boise State or New Mexico or Nevada were to play these big schedules, get better. And then also there's the honor code stuff with the faith. You're usually getting guys who have the Mormon faith there to go to school, 95% or whatever it is on a football team or population, maybe higher, but there's that as well, and they're not getting these great guys. So when they play UNLV, Fresno, it's all road games. We'll see. But you ready for next game? Game 2?
Yes.
I guess?
Yes.
Only game 2? We got to speed this thing up, man.
I know.
All right. All right, so we got Colorado State, New Mexico. So the week prior, Lobos laid a goose egg versus Fresno, which we were all jaw-dropped because they could not run the ball at all.
Right.
This game, they did better. Tyron Owens, who came out of nowhere, 159 yards, touchdown. This game was over because of the second quarter. The Rams, 3 touchdowns, ended up winning 27-24. This is a game where the Rams did everything right. They threw the ball well, Nick Stevens. Izzy Matthews, Dalen Dawkins ran the ball well. Everybody's catching the ball. I did notice, it was interesting. Did you know, like, during the broadcast, New Mexico or Albuquerque is higher than Denver at sea level?
In terms of elevation?
Yeah, I did not know that.
I didn't either. I figured anywhere in Colorado or the, lack of a better term,
Wyoming and stuff, yeah. Not Wyoming, but yeah.
Yeah, would have more higher elevation. I didn't think Albuquerque would, but, interesting.
Yeah, it's because they're going through. I'm like, okay, where are they at? Because I've been to Albuquerque. It looks pretty nice, desert. But, like, I'm out here in Utah, a ton of mountains. There's not many mountains in Albuquerque, so I kind of figured you're, like, maybe 4,500, maybe 3,800. But, no, they're, like, 5,700 feet. And so they're mentioning, which I kind of think it's them overthinking it, elevation, like the Colorado Rockies baseball thing. Get the humidor
right
in there. Like, hey, maybe Nick Stevens is overthrowing passes because altitude. I'm like, really? Fort College is probably within 500 feet, and you're saying that extra bit's going to cause them to overthrow Johnson or Michael Gallup 3 times? No, come on. I'm like,
well.
But what do you think about what happened? Because I think the Rams missed some opportunities. They could have won more because of, like, those overthrows. Whichever you want to believe, either miscue or the altitude played a factor.
Yeah, I feel like, and New Mexico came back, you know, outscored them, I think, 14-6 in the second half to keep it a close game. I'm real big on Colorado State's offense. I love Nick Stevens. I love their you mentioned Dalen Dawkins, Izzy Matthews. I love their offense. I think they are the best offense in the conference. Defense, better than Nevada's.
It's iffy.
Better than Nevada's.
Not saying much. No. Not saying much, by the way.
obviously not. But I feel like if they could shore up their defense a little bit, I think Colorado State's going to be a team that's going to be, they're going to stand and fall on their offense. They're going to stand on Nick Stevens and that talented group of skilled position players they have. Where they get trouble is they run across an offense that can really put pressure on their defense. And New Mexico was able to, but it was late in the game. And late in the game, and New Mexico is the type of team where I feel like they need to be close. They're not equipped to come back. If I'm not off base on them.
Yeah, we are calling them the throw bows, but they're not quite there yet.
I figured they'd be a little bit better of a throwing team, but kind of hard for the leopard to change spots.
Yeah, it takes a while.
But I feel like Colorado State, again, when it's rise and fall on their offense, and the defense could do just enough to get by.
The thing that ended the game really for them was the fumble. Like, there's Lobos turned it over a couple times late in the game where it was a 24-17. New Mexico fumbled on their first play, Richard McCorley. Maybe that's why, he didn't play that well this game. But they pick it up. Rams do at their own 35. They have a nice five-minute drive. Then, boot a 52-yard field goal to get that 10-point lead. And then the Lobos took too long. Like, they had their extremely efficient. It was only 4 minutes, but they go down the field, get a touchdown. But then they get the onside kick, but then they cannot can't convert because they were sacked on 4th and 4. So they had chances to get in for the field goal. And this team, like the Rams, the Lobos defense is interesting. It's kind of good. It's kind of not. But the Rams offense here, they took chances. Like they go for it on 4th and 1 on the first drive. Both teams actually did. They both, it's kind of interesting. The first two drives, no punts. They both go for it on 4th down. And then Lobos strike first. Lobos missed a field goal early on as well, which is a big deal, 40-yarder. And so that came back to bite them a little bit. And it was just field goal touchdown a little bit in that first half. You're up 21-10. Like you said, Lobos aren't, even though they did come back, they can't really come back because their drives take too long for the most part. Well, they did have a 46-second drive on 2 plays, 72 yards, but still, typically, they're not a fast strike offense.
Looking at their passing, Lamar Jordan went 2-3 for 48 yards. I'm going to butcher his name, so I do apologize. Tavaka. To a toy?
Yeah, that's okay. About right. Sounds good. I'll take it.
Pet peeve of mine. I want to get the names right. But he went 5 for 16 for 84 yards.
That's
not going to cut it. And rushing as a team, collectively, they went total 48 attempts for 318. So while the running game is going to be there for New Mexico, the passing game especially wasn't there, and especially going up against the Colorado State, that's going to obviously pitch it around balanced, but they're a balanced team that likes to throw the ball around. 19 attempts for 132 yards isn't going to cut it.
Yeah. Yeah, for the like Lobos, that's like 202 is thrown better in this game. Like if they go 7 for 14, that's fine, but 5 of 16 is just terrible. Had he gone 10 of 16? 5 of 9, that's fine, but that's, he didn't turn it over, but too many completions, and that's part of it. When you look at what they had to do on long situations, they were only 2 of 12 on third downs, and they allowed the Rams 7 of 15. So like the Lobos had chances, but they couldn't convert on long situations. They went for it on 4th down 5 times. Too many penalties. Like this game, like not that the It's an evenly matched game. Like both teams were poor in turnovers penalties. Time possession about the same. Lobos ran what they want to run, but it just came down to not converting when they needed to. The fumble that led 2 points for Rams field goal late. They missed their own field goal. It's kind of shot themselves in the foot. Fumble, missed field goal. Okay, 3rd down. Yeah, 2 of 12. That's not great, but you got to get some of those. And Rams are a team their defense is pretty good. I think overall, it's their secondary is terrible. Yeah. So maybe that's why they wanted to throw more. Because if you watch like the Oregon State game, there are missed throws down the field. They were forcing everything underneath, but their secondary can be had, and the Lobos aren't there to be able to go downfield to take advantage of that weakness, and that's kind of what it came down to, like not throwing the ball efficiently enough on their level. Like if they have 130 yards, I don't care. Go 7 of 12. That's fine, but they just, like I said, fumble, miss field goal, and 2 of 12 on third downs kind of
5 and 11, but hit some big plays in passing. I'm looking at their receivers, total number, the yards of receivers. We mentioned, 132 yards passing isn't going to cut it. 63 yards for Drennan, 27 yards for Williams. Hugh Drennan, yeah. I don't mind. Right. I don't mind.
It's fine, but it's just
efficiency.
You can't go 7 of 8.
Right. I don't mind the small number of attempts. We can agree on this. I don't mind the small number of attempts. But you got to maximize, and I'm sorry to clap, but to the audience, but I think you got to really maximize those attempts. If you just throw 19 times, you're only getting a very nice 6.9 yards per clip. That's not going to cut it. not against Colorado State.
No, but here's the thing too. They held them to like 24 points.
27 points.
Or 27 points. Yeah. That's pretty good.
That, I mean, again, we mentioned, you know, with the New Mexico's defense, they're better than they were, I would say, a year or 2 years ago, but they're not quite there yet. I'm gonna go ahead and use them as a measuring stick. They're a little bit better than the Nevada's. Not saying much, but still.
Exactly. All right, so move on to Saturday. I was making myself a note and I put a wrong word in there. It's okay. Let's move on. Put a note in our timeline here to add something. Not sad. All right, so maybe this game is sad. Utah State 52, UNLV 28. So what defense would you rather have, Brandon? UNLV or Nevada's?
Yes.
Plead the fifth.
I want to. So many amendments to the Constitution. I can only choose one. I plead the fifth.
There you go.
Ooh, UNLV's defense. And this is the second week in a row where UNL's defense failed to protect the lead. And that's really a disservice to their running game. I'm really big on Lexington Thomas, mm-hmm. The running back there. I think he's a phenomenal talent for the Rebels. But they go up, I believe they went up 28-7, if I'm remembering the score. 21-7. 21-7.
Yeah, then 21-7 and
28-14. They were up two scores going into the second quarter. And Utah State just eradicated that lead. And if you're UNLV and you have aspirations of going to a bowl for the first time in forever, your defense has to be better. And I meant going into the season, I felt, looking at UNLV, I figured the offense was, last year, there was, you would say, average, had their moments. The defense was horrendous. Yeah. And they lost starters from last year's defense. Their defense had to be so much better for them to even think about going to a bowl. And here we are, 7 games into their season. It's the same as it ever was for them. And just not good. They can't continue to blow these second half, blow these leads like that.
Yeah, and here's a couple things too. Well, one thing we should mention, Armani Rogers left the game with a apparent concussion, which doesn't help. And he was in the game when I believe it was, he came out late second half on it, or first half. Late second quarter. Kurt Palandek, who's been quarterback before for them, had to come in cold to play. He's not the same dynamic guy. Like, Rogers isn't anything amazing yet, but look what he did in his time in this game. He can run the ball. He was 5 of 12, obviously not good, but he had 75 yards and 2 touchdowns in his time on the ground. So he's able to do other things when his arm isn't working, despite them having guys like Devontae Boyd, who had no catches, and he was hurt too in the first quarter. And Kendall Keyes had ended up with 4 catches, but Boyd got banged up as well. So when you lose a guy like Rogers, who being your quarterback for the whole season, he's showing promise. He's not there yet, but that's it takes a hit too, because Palandek wasn't much better. 2 picks, clearly worse. 8 of 18. Utah State's defense is really good with Jalen Davis back there making plays. They didn't really get to the quarterback that much. They had 2 sacks. That's okay, but they did 2 picks. Like, Dallin Love had a great pick. They were just all over Palandek, and the running game just kind of was a different team. They got shut out in the second half, and the defense couldn't hold. I don't expect the defense to hold, really. But give it to Utah State. I'm just saying, it's truth. Come on. And points off turnovers, too. 10 points off turnovers in the second half for Utah State. And then, also, I'm safe to say that Utah State's now going to be 100% in the Jordan Love business at quarterback.
Jordan Love's, and it's very inspirational. In the sense that I've seen that game, I was very impressed with him. Numbers, focusing on the numbers, went 19 for 27, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, coming off the pine for the Aggies. He's got to be their starter going into the rest of the way through. The Aggies defense was pretty much as they were, very solid in limiting the Rebels' rushing attack, which, going back to the Rebels, in a way, sort of. Like I believe what you mentioned, once Rodgers went left with the injury, they were kind of a wrap. But
yeah, well, second half, no points, though. They held the rushing game in check in the second half. And so, no, you're right. Second half, first half, UNLV did what they want. It's like the Air Force. They give up that 27-0 lead and lost. This game, not as big as lead, but your running attack. Maybe they thought the threat of Rodgers was too much. Like, maybe Utah State's like, they know Palandek can run, but not as dynamic. So they just kind of will let Palandek beat you in the air. They couldn't. So they stacked the box.
And with UNLV, it seems like they have to, with Rodgers, the passing game has to be a lot better for them, I feel. I think the running game is there with Rodgers and Thomas when Rodgers when healthy. But if they don't get that passing game going, it's very easy to shut down UNLV if I'm not off base on that. And we've got the game on Saturday to prove it as much. You know, once when Rodgers went down, that offense was just non-existent, and credit to the Aggies defense as well for that in getting that and stopping them.
Yeah, we'll see. Utah State, I think I gotta see if I predicted them. I did my bull projections this morning or late last night, post them this afternoon. They are sitting at four and four in conference play, 4-4. I think I put them in a bowl game this week for whatever reason I decided to, but if they stick with Jordan Love there, because I love Kent Myers, what he did as a freshman, but he hasn't really been great all his career. He got jerked around a little bit when Chucky Keaton came back, which wasn't all that fair. But I stuck Utah State. I did not stick them a bowl game this time around. I went with Boise, Air Force, Hawaii, San Diego State, Fresno, and CSU. They can still make a bowl game, but if you look at who they play the rest of the way, because obviously UNLV's out, they got a couple games left. They got Boise State at home, which probably not. New Mexico, maybe. Like, they have three games that are maybe, but they go two New Mexico and two Air Force. I don't think they'll do. I think they'll be 5-7, but I just think that's I don't know. They could win three of those four, but I don't think they're going to do it. I think it's potential, but
and listening to you and Matt's going previews for each individual teams throughout the off season, I had Utah at like 5-7. I figured their schedule, you know, I figure if they were in the Western Division, they'd be a bowl team hands down. I think they can make a bowl. Boise, yeah, it's at the turf. It's in Boise. It's in the blue turf.
No, it's at home.
My glasses, Brandon. They do get Boise in Logan. That gives them a chance. Boise, I think they're not as impressive, but we'll get to them when they play Wyoming. We will get to them when we recap Wyoming. New Mexico, I think they could beat New Mexico. Hawaii, Air Force. I mean, these are...
Without John Ursura, too.
And these are not... Without Ursura. You know, these world beaters that Utah State is facing. I think they can make a bowl. I honestly think they can make a bowl. I felt like they would be close going into the season, but if Jordan Love keeps playing like he did, and Jalen Davis and that defense stays at a pretty good, very good level, who's to say they can't win two of those games?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because when we look at their schedule, like who they lost to, the only game that I would question they could win is Wake Forest. I guess they're way better, but you look about it, lost Wisconsin, expected. Colorado State, expected. Wyoming, pretty much expected for the most part. UNLV, yes, expected to win versus UNLV. BYU, I did my stupid upset pick. That's kind of a surprise a little bit. But end of the way, like, look at FPI real quick. Host Boise, they're giving them a 33% chance to win. It depends on Boise's defense comes up because they've been hit or miss. They at New Mexico, I'm kind of surprised. They're favored at New Mexico, 52%. Hawaii at home, 86, and then at Air Force, 41%. It's almost a toss-up. So there's a pretty good chance they can win at least two of those games. If I were to pick two, I'd probably say Hawaii, and I guess I'll go with the favorites here, Hawaii and New Mexico.
I figured I'm with you on that. at New Mexico, even though they got to travel to Albuquerque, I think they could really put the clamps down on the Lobos' offense. And Hawaii, they get them in Logan. So, and even if I had to rank them of those final four, I think the better chances are going to be New Mexico, Hawaii, Air Force, and Boise in terms of better chance of winning.
Interesting.
I think they can make a bowl. I mean, 6-6, you know, depending on what's available, you know, there's 6,700 bowls that are out there. They got to fill them up.
I think so. So, all right, let's go to we did lose the Poinsettia Bowl. Yeah,
that's sad. I'm for your audience, I'm in Florida, but in Pensacola, Florida, but I was for a time I was in San Diego, so I was familiar with like the Holiday Bowl, and the Poinsettia Bowl is a nice little thing, you know, sort of an appetizer to the Holiday Bowl. When they lost that bowl, it was disappointing.
It's tough, yeah. People like San Diego in December, why not? All right, let's move on to the next game here. We'll save the Fresno game for last. Let's go Boise State versus Wyoming. Boise won 24-14. Unfortunately, no safety dance this game, but we did have a high hurdle from Alexander Madison, so I guess that kind of works out. Not the same, but it's okay.
I'd rather have the safety dance, but yeah. I'm fine with the high hurdle.
So here, you've probably heard... Exactly. Yeah, go for it. If you can jump over a deep or linebacker or whatever, go for it. So 24-14. If people have heard me before, Josh Allen, oh boy. Do you have any thoughts on Josh Allen before people heard me enough? I'll just give a stat line really quick and people know where I stand. 12 of 27, 131, 1 TD, 2 picks. I'll leave it there. You take over now.
You, me, I don't know if you follow him, Charles McDonald, Forverts. If you're not following him, follow him. He's excellent. Charles McDonald. Good guy. He sort of breaks down the players also in terms of the quarterbacks for the NFL. We all, him, you, and myself, all sort of have this crusade. Not a crusade, just a... Well, yeah, we'll say crusade. Against the scouts who prop Josh Allen up as an NFL prospect. I've seen Josh Allen play most of last season and 7 games of this season. Yeah. I've watched the whole Wyoming-Iowa game and a couple of the Wyoming games on and off. I watched his performance. I don't see it. Really. Other than he looks like the quarterback, air quotes. I don't see it. And the game against Boise, there were just some throws and decision making of his that was just, this is the number one, this is the quarterback you have. So some prospects have,
here's the thing. No, wait. Cleveland Browns are going to get this guy and think he's the guy, and he's not going to be the guy.
Well, Cleveland, I would say that.
Jacksonville?
No, we're not going to go there. No.
Sorry.
Well, the way the world works, probably. Yeah, but I've seen his throws, seen his decision-making. I said to myself, this is the guy that scouts have is ranked higher than Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, Lamar Jackson, Luke Falk, and I'm not really big on Luke Falk. It's just so bad. Say again.
Volume guy, kind of. Like,
yeah.
Volume guy, Washington State.
Air raid guy. But hey, Patrick Mahomes get drafted. It's an air raid, so anything could happen. But yeah, Josh Allen just does not strike me as somebody as impressed as a very good quarterback right now. Now, you can make the click. You can definitely make a case that, yeah, he had weapons last year. He had Tanner Gentry. He did have Brian Hill. Right. Brian Hill.
Tanner Gentry with the Bears, who started with the Bears.
With the Washington team.
Chase Roulier, who's starting for the Redskins, line, I believe, or he, in the team.
Last year was a little bit better. You know, so he didn't have those. And that's fine. He's going to – and you can make a case for that. But if, in my opinion, if you're a potential NFL quarterback, possibly NFL quarterback. Oh, you're right. You're right. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. Number one quarterback.
Number one pick quarterback. Don't just say potential QB. One. There's a lot of guys potential
QB.
At
a certain point in time, you have to rise above it. You have to rise above the deficiencies you have to be a better quarterback. Lamar Jackson, we're just sidetracked with Lamar Jackson. He's good. And he's hamstrung.
He's good. Look at Deshaun. Real quick. Also, Deshaun Watson, him and Lamar Jackson are very similar. Look what Watson's doing with the Texans.
Oh, no.
You're telling me Jackson's still going to be a freaking wide receiver? No way.
Keep saying with Lamar Jackson, he has a defense that's not that great. I know they did beat Florida State, for what it's worth.
This year.
So defense that's not that great. Weapons are there, but he's still putting up fantastic numbers. Whereas Josh Allen's not even the best. We're talking about Josh Allen being the number one quarterback in college, going to the pros. Ty Gangi has better numbers than Josh Allen. And Ty Gangi's not going to be on anybody's NFL rosters.
Can we just blame Matt Miller for this? Come on, and get done with it.
Yes, I blame Matt Miller. Thank you, into my rant. No, it's just... We can all agree he's not the best quarterback in his own conference, let alone
division.
Quarterback Nick Stevens.
Does Wyoming wait, is there an FCS team in Wyoming? Because he may not be the best quarterback in the state.
Let me check.
I don't know. But like your point, like you said, decision making, like here, a couple things. Yes. They didn't have, like, James Price is back from injury. He missed some games. Fort, the tight end, has been out. He's injured as well. But, like, at some point, guys have been dropping passes. He has made some good throws. But at some point, make a freaking play. If you're that good, like, here's the thing. Like, you heard me a million times say this. If you're a defensive lineman, a cornerback, a running back, a DB, you can be stand out on a bad team and get drafted high. Quarterback, that's hard to do. Because if you're losing, there's a good reason. It's probably on you. But let's get to the game. But I just wanted your thoughts on that because... I'm not looking for validation, but it's like, I don't know why McShay, Kuiper, all these guys still keep them top five. CBS is dropping them down. Other places are dropping them down. At some point, you got to make a play. Yeah, your guys aren't catching the ball, but you also can't throw. Going back to decision making, real quick, the first throw versus Utah State, he attempted to throw it out of bounds. He kept it in play, and a receiver jumped up, a DB jumped up and caught a pick. Great athletic play by the DB, but if you're throwing it away, throw it away.
Before you go, to the game.
Whatever.
Most importantly, the game. And people who follow me, I'm not with Josh Allen. I haven't been sold on him. He's just not good. He needs to stay. And now, if the draft folks come and say, hey, you're going to be a first round pick, then go, make the money. But,
go make the money. I don't blame him for that because the NFL's QB hungry.
Yeah. look at the quarterbacks that are being trotted out in the NFL. I'll leave it at that.
Or even the Chiefs could trade up for Mahomes, like you mentioned. They traded up to get him.
If I'm trying to build a team, any football team, NFL, college, I'm not building with Allen. He has a lot of work to do.
Well, even Sam Darnold's not playing well. Josh Rosen, none of those guys.
Darnold's
guys
another
are
one
well
that's just like Allen. Another one that you can make the case for. Well, he doesn't have the weapons. I get it, but if you have aspirations of being an NFL quarterback, you have to take your talent and rise it up to a certain position where, hey, I could throw it to anybody. I don't care who I got, Juju Smith, Schuster Smith, or whoever.
I could be Johnny Manziel. Yeah, I could be Manziel and chuck it to Mike Evans versus Alabama. Right. I could chuck the ball 40 yards. I'm fine. Put me in the NFL. I am 6'4", 240. Put me in the NFL. Same size as Josh Allen.
Oh, and before we get to the game real quick. the next Matt Miller compared him to Cam Newton, and I wanted to say, well, there's only one quarterback in the Mountain West we could compare to Cam Newton, and that is Mr. Armani Rodgers. Yes, we can.
No, we can't. No.
Oh, Jerry. No. Armani Rodgers. Cam Newton.
Oh, no. Yeah. I still say that. I'll say that. I will say one play when he took four guys on his back. And that kind of looked like him a couple weeks versus Utah State last – or Air Force, but whatever. All right. So Boise wins. Yes, Boise won the game as we're talking Josh Allen into the ground again. 24-14. So the Boise's quarterback situations, I've been harping on it as well. I'm like, why Brett Rypien? Why Cozart? Why is it doing this? I guess they kind of finally made a move where Cozart's kind of the red zone quarterback, I guess. Like within the 30-yard line, you don't see Rypien on the field except for – they had a pretty cool – they're both on the field when Cozart is running back and Rypien passed to him for a TD. But, like, here's the thing, though. Rippin's a back – I say this a million times, but he's been a Mountain West first team QB 2 years in a row, and he's split in time. Maybe they found a formula, but this is not, like, a Boise team, like, that's going to be great. They're good. They're 5-2, and they play CSU. We'll see if they keep going. But this team goes with Alexander Mattison. He had almost 100 yards for a third straight game. He had 91 yards, no touchdowns, unfortunately. He had 91 yards, that nice hurdle we mentioned before. But the way this team's going to go is if Mattison gets near 100 yards and the defense doesn't pull what they did versus Virginia. They're not going to win because of their passing game. 18-24, 177 with two quarterbacks, that's not going to get it done. It's going to be defense running the ball, and that's what they did versus Wyoming. They picked off Allen twice. Wyoming led with Allen on the ground. They have no running game. Like, what are they going to do? Like, Trey Woods thought would be the guy. Didn't run very well. That's how Boise's going to win games, and that's how they won this game. They stopped Wyoming's offense.
Yeah,
which is
with Boise, they're not the like my first football podcast this year with you guys. I didn't get a chance to talk about Boise. Boise, to me, isn't the typical teams of years past where offensively where they could just blow the gates out. They've been more – they're going to stand and fall on their – this year. On their running game, you said Mattison and Wolpin and Cozart, because they have a pack. They have a couple packages of plays for Cozart to quarterback keep. They're gonna run. They're gonna rise and fall in their running game and their defense and pass just enough. 177 yards isn't gonna be enough. It's gonna be enough for Wyoming. To beat Wyoming, but probably not enough to beat the Boise's. Beat Boise's. To beat Colorado State of the conference. I don't mind the package of Rypien and Cozart simply because they do two different things. Well, Rypien obviously is the better passer. Cozart, a little package of running. Maybe we'll have him play running back. Maybe we'll have him throw the ball. So I don't mind the package that they have for him. But you're right. They have to throw the ball a lot better than the 177 and one touchdown.
Dude, you got Cedric Wilson. Get him the ball. Come on.
Exactly. And Wilson had a fantastic touchdown catch to really ice the game late for him. Give him the ball. Give Jake Rowe the ball. I know he had five catches. Not sure the number of targets. But I feel like you got to get the passing game going. And you got two talents in Wilson and Jake Rowe.
Yeah, and Jake Rowe plays quarterback too sometimes. Jake Rowe plays quarterback at times.
Yeah, in a sort of a Jordan Reed-esque type of way. But I feel like you got to get the passing game going. It feels like they're just holding back. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the two quarterback thing that's hindering them. But I feel like you got to open up that passing game. You know, if they have any aspirations of playing for a Mountain West title, they gotta have to open up.
But here's the thing. Yeah, when they play Colorado State, Rams' rush defense is not that bad. Their front seven is good. They're gonna have to exploit downfield, and they couldn't do it. Wyoming does have Andrew Wingard and a pretty good secondary, but. Really quick, like, Wyoming's defense, they got to the quarterback. They had 7 TFLs, 3 sacks against the quarterbacks. They're getting after it. They make it plays. Like, Wingard had 15 total tackles. Marcus Epps, 13 tackles. They're getting to it. Carl Ganderson, huge game. 2 sacks, 3.5 TFLs. Probably player of the week, I'm thinking, at the moment. But the thing it came down to, Josh Allen lost him the game. The two turnovers by him were the only two in the game, and those led to, I think, 10 points. And Boise missed a field goal early in the first missed a 29-yard field goal early in the game.
Yeah.
It led to, yeah, a field goal in the first half, and then only 3 points. But still, the final – well, you're down – whatever, that last drive, you're down 10, whatever. It's not – doesn't whatever, doesn't matter that much, end of the game. But they just were three and out, one three and out, two three and outs, three and outs, four, another five plays in the punts. Like, offense has nothing.
It doesn't, and it's and they're gonna have to open things up a little more to have any chance to be to have a chance against Colorado State, because like you said, their defense is in the secondary can be very charitable. You got to take advantage of that. So if you guys have to play Rippin, if you want to play two quarterbacks, that's fine, but Rippin's going to have to probably be – it's going to have to be 70-30 Rippin, since I feel he's the better passer. And then maybe get Cozart out and do some you know, a lot of those trick
plays. I haven't been a fan. They've been winning, but not good. Impressive. They're not impressive.
Yeah, it's a lot of grinding. There's a lot of grinding wins. Like I said, it's not the Boise offense that we, you know, folks have been accustomed to, where offensively they just – blow the doors off of everybody. They've had to grind out a lot of these wins this season because the passing game is sort of sketchy.
All right, final game. We ready? We've gone an hour. We've got to wrap this bad boy up here. We've been talking a lot of stuff here. So there's another topic we could get to, but I'm going to save that for Twitter because I'm going to make fun of CSU fans. But let's move on. You'll find out. Go follow Rich Kurtzman. You'll see what I'm talking about in a few minutes, folks. American Six, whatever. Come on. All right, final game. Fresno State at San Diego State. You're lying if you raise your hand and say they're going to win. You're lying. Right? You're lying if you said Fresno was going to win this game.
I can say with 100% certainty that I had San Diego State winning and winning convincingly. Wow, was I wrong.
Yeah, this game, I ended up watching it Sunday morning because I'd going out Saturday night. I'm like, all right, I watched it in the morning. I saw the score. I'm like, what the crap happened? So I'm... After I sleep, I'm okay, wake up, all right, let's watch, get ready, watch the game, what happened? All right, 27-3. I'm watching the first few drives. I'm like, hey, Aztecs look pretty good. They go all the way down the field with ease. 8-minute drive, 16 plays, traditional Aztecs offense. Fumble. Rashard Penny fumbles. They get the ball back. They go like minus 8 yards. And they can't do anything.
It is just a case of Fresno beating San Diego State at their own game. And it goes back to last year where San Diego State beat them 17-3. Now the score didn't look as much, but they leaned on Fresno last year.
Chokehold.
They put them in a sleeper and figure for a leg lock, whatever you want to, whatever wrestling move you want to think about. You want to use, they really just suffocated Fresno State last year. Fresno did the same thing to them. And it was just amazing to watch, to watch Fresno State just, wow, is this the Fresno State team that just looked like an out-and-out train wreck last year, in the last few years, to just really take it to the best team in the conference? McMarion's numbers, not sexy, no touchdowns, but didn't throw any picks, went 10 for 16, 176 yards.
Oh, and three passes over 30 yards.
Yes. So it's very San Diego State-like. Because when we look to the running game, Jordan Mims and Josh Hockett?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Hockett.
Combined, you know, both 21 carries for Mims, 14 carries for Hockett. Mims had 112 yards. Hockett had 77 yards, but three touchdowns. I think he was the first time since 2009 that happened. They really just leaned on. They grinded San Diego State.
Well, both sides. The defensive line leaned and stopped Penny. Like, Penny, after that first drive, he was shut down to basically nothing. him and Juwan Washington on the first couple of drives, like the field goal in the first second quarter and that extremely long first drive, I figured, okay, Aztecs are going to get it done. They're moving the ball. Yeah, unfortunately, they missed out on points, and they had to do a three and out on their second drive. But that third, okay, all right, third drive, they're back. But then end of the half, three and out. They had three and outs in the first half.
Yeah, and Penny.
They had actually, real quick, five. They had five in the game. That's ridiculous.
Five first downs, right?
Yeah. No, five three and outs.
Five three and outs. That's right. You're correct. That's not a Rocky Long San Diego State type of offense, you know, type of performance where they get three and outs. Normally in the last few years, when they get a third and whatever, third and short, it's either a Rashard Penny. It's either, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. But it normally it's not. Sorry, I'm blanking on his name, but you don't see that. And we would think maybe the passing game would have some, you know, San Diego's passing game would have some type of, you know, it's gotten better over the weeks, Boise State notwithstanding, but it, you know, Christian Chapman only threw 20 times and had 77 yards at under 4 yards a pop. And that's not going to cut it. That, you know, especially in San Diego State, like New Mexico, is a team that's not built to come back from big leads. They get the lead and they lean on you. And it's just fascinating to watch. It was really one of the more fascinating games I've seen in the entire college football landscape, especially in the Mountain West, outside of Air Force in Nevada, because, wow, Fresno State, they come a long way.
Yeah, it's I was against the hire mostly because Hal Woodell, not who, got hired, but defense just stopped. Like, this is what Fresno used to be. Like, they had Derek Carr, David Carr, and had Ryan Williams running the ball, guys doing those type of things, or even what's his name? Whatever, I forget his name. I'll move on. Another running back in the day. Was it Darren Sproles from Fresno?
K-State.
I don't recall. Maybe not. Yeah. K-State. Yeah, that's right. I think it's somebody else. Maybe, yeah, but like, this is a team defense. Like, they. This is what they wanted Tim Ruder to do. Like, he was a defensive coach at Texas A&M right. and Air Force. He did good things. Here's the thing, too, which makes it even more frustrating if you're a Fresno fan. Same talent outside of Marcus McBride, right. essentially. And he came in, and he beat out a guy who most people thought would start, as in me. Okay, Jordan Mims, freshman, coming in as well. But, like, McMurray came in mid-camp, and he beats out Chasen Virgil after a month? Like, what does that right. tell you about guys you're bringing
and
in?
And it goes to a recruiting type of level, I would think, you know, who are you bringing in? Because it's not necessarily the scheme you got, it's who you bringing in. And not only who you bringing in, how are you developing them? And it seems like the Ruder brought them in, but couldn't do nothing with it. Whereas Tedford, like you and like yourself and like Matt Kern, I wasn't a big fan of the hire of Tedford because I felt like his best work was 15 years ago with Aaron Rodgers. But, man, he's really done wonders with that offense, especially when they played Nevada a few weeks ago. I was really impressed with that offense. And with McMurray coming over from Oregon State, I mean, he's really done good things with that offense. And that's only in there. Hopefully it's a continuation of things to come over in Central Valley.
Yeah, and he'll be there next year too. Like, he's 2 years of play, so he'll be here next year. He's right there at Ganju during conference play, one of the most efficient quarterbacks. Five touchdowns, one pick. He's what, third in QB rating, second in QB rating. He's darn decent, 220 yards per game. He's 64%. He's doing quite well in league play, and so he's one of the most efficient quarterbacks, better than Drew Brown. He missed well, right in the same neighborhood, right behind Nick Stevens. That's it, 12 for zero. It's like, geez, nobody's gonna catch him. But he doesn't need to score touchdowns, really. The running game doing it. But let me ask you this, as far as you know, have they already clinched a West Division, do you think? Because they have five games left, four league games, they own the tiebreaker for San Diego State, and have a two game lead, so they'd have to lose three games, and Aztecs went out to not win the title.
I don't want to hand them the Western Division championship yet, but home for UNLV, BYU, non-conference. They got to go to Hawaii, though, so that That could be a trip mm-hmm. up. And then they close out against Wyoming and Boise. I don't want to say that they've won it. They got it, but they're in the catbird seat. They're in the catbird.
Safe to say, maybe. Yeah, for sure. Because if Rodgers doesn't play, they're going to be UNLV for sure, I'm thinking.
Winnable games. We just talked straight winnable games. UNLV's winnable. Okay.
Yeah.
And keeping it in conference, because they should be BYU. UNLV, Hawaii, they should win. And then they close out with the two of the three best mountain teams in the Mountain Division.
That's not easy.
I don't want to – they're in the catbird seat. They have a good chance, but I wouldn't be in the Central. I wouldn't be printing up 2017 Western Division Championship T-shirts just yet in Central Valley. But they do have the oil can, though.
Yeah, I am confident they'll do it.
Yes.
They do find the eBay oil can.
I have to read. Because the origins of that, because it was just.
Yeah, during the game, they mentioned, I guess it was buried. They stole it and buried it when Aztecs were building a basketball facility. They found it. But then there's also the story about them looking for a replacement on eBay.
I think for a while,
and they found one.
I need to read that.
Go read what Ryan Swan. He's done some stuff. Yeah, he's done oil can. He's done old wagon wheel. He's done Boise looking for a third national title. He's done a lot of interesting stuff that we don't normally do, so check that out. But I think Fresno, I'm leaning, I'd say 60-40, they're going to win the West Division right now, which is a far cry from what anybody said
and
back
then. I don't want to count. And
even 2 weeks ago.
They got a good chance. I don't want to count out the Aztecs. I think...
Well, but the thing is, you can't. It doesn't matter.
Fresno's
it's
schedule,
all in Fresno
especially
now.
The last two games against Boise, Wyoming, they could easily drop those two. They could easily drop those two. But I'm looking, if we're just going to focus on schedules, San Diego State, if they can get their offense and if they can get that team in check and chugging along. At Hawaii, at San Jose State, home for Nevada, home for New Mexico. They're three of their last four games are against the Western Division, and they got a good chance. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's get our collective stuff together and win out, and then hopefully Fresno State can drop two. Because now Fresno State. They've gone from not even being thought of to, they're in the driver's seat. So it's going to be interesting to watch that last month of the season in the conference. Who would have thought it?
Definitely. All right. That's a show. We've talked a good 75 minutes, so you're welcome on that front. So if you like people you talk, you're
Josh Allen talk.
Or, I guess, maybe. Drew Draft Talk, not done by me. Hopefully that was a reprieve from me just banging the fist at that. But thank you. I will give you a B+ for the show because we cut out for about 5 seconds.
I'll take that.
But I blame
I'll
me. So that. Actually, you get an A- for the show, Brandon.
Have me on next. Have me on a little bit more. Do 3 minutes.
A-. That's perfectly fine. Okay, we will. We need to do that. Yes, we should do that. We'll figure that out. Make sure we'll get Skype working the right way. But bowl season, basketball, we had Nevada – Grand Canyon game going on right now, so we'll see how that's going on. At this moment, which you'll know the final score later, but at the moment, Nevada 68, Grand Canyon 56 with 7.5 minutes left. So that'll be old news by the time you hear this. But yes, thanks for hopping on. Thanks for joining the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Follow Brandon G. Blake on Twitter. Follow us at MWCWire, MWWire.com. That's all the fun stuff. And we do have some, maybe some news coming soon, but that's still hush hush. But we'll see. It's not looking good, but thanks for listening. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher. Hey, if you like Brandon and not Matt, I guess. Well, that's harsh to say, but if there's a reason you wanted 5 stars, maybe it's because Matt wasn't here, or you wanted to hear Brandon talk. Who's this Brandon guy? He talks Nevada. Who's he? If you like him, give us 5 stars and tell us why. That's always
the 5 stars.
Or tell us we suck and give us 5 stars. I don't care. Yeah, that's all we want. As you can tell, the key thing is 5 stars. That's what we keep saying. But Yes, but yes, thanks for everybody for listening to the show, and thanks for hopping on, Brandon. And as always, yes, we're biased against your team.